Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. What a great day it is. Here in California, the sun is shining. We've got these two cute little birdies that have a nest in our backyard, and they're little babies, and they're chirping. It's just a great day to be alive and to thrive as an entrepreneur. I don't know about you, but I hope that you're feeling that way as well today. We really do wish the best for you and yours as you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. I just really want to talk today with you about the things in our life that we control. Or do we? And that's part of what I'm going to talk to you about here before we get rolling with our two next best-selling authors. I want to talk to you about control. Now, on the one hand, some of you have probably heard on other shows, I've quoted, it's another one of those quotes that's just ingrained in my life. I don't even remember who it came from. Might have been Sid Bauman. And the phrase goes something like this: control what you can, and don't worry about what you can't control. And it's very empowering because too often we are so focused on taking care of things that we have no control over that we miss the things that we can take care of. So for example, you have no control whether it's going to be rainy or sunny, but you can eat right regardless. You have no ability to control the traffic. Somebody that was driving ahead of you got in an accident and the whole entire freeway is slowed down. You don't have any control over that at all. But you do have control over having checked the map before you go and possibly choosing or changing routes as you're going. You have the control over listening to an audiobook or a podcast or some really great music that will encourage and inspire you and turn what for a lot of people is just the destroyer of their whole day into something good. And so that's what the phrase is meant to express. Control what you can. Don't worry about what you can't control. But the flip side to that is that control is an illusion. In the end, what do we really have control over? There are so many things that we try to control. And we do have choice. Don't get me wrong. I just articulated it a minute ago. We can choose when we want to stop eating at a particular meal. We can choose how we want to react as opposed to, or rather, I'm sorry, respond as opposed to react to a particular situation. We have those choices. But what do we really control? Think about that for a minute. A lot of people, especially in my parents' generation, the concept was you go to school, you get an education, you get a good job, and you go to work for the rest of your life for a good company. And back in my parents' day, that was very true. And you could work the 30 or 40 years and get the golden handshake and maybe earn the gold watch. At that point in time, there was at least some belief that Social Security and Medicaid was going to take care of you. That isn't necessarily the case today. How many of you either have experienced yourself or know somebody who, one day they were at work and then the next day when they showed up at the work, the building was just closed. There was maybe a note on the door that said, such and such industries has gone out of business. I remember actually getting the call, and it was actually a friend of mine that owned the company that said, "We're closing down. Today is our last day. You can come in if you want to and pack up your stuff, or I can just send your files to you, but we've chosen to go a different direction and close down the business. And it was a good decision for his business, but it still, you know, was last minute. It was literally that morning as I was getting ready to go to work that I got that call. And I know other people who they didn't even get that kind of a call. They just literally showed up at work and, you know, there on the door was a message or maybe even police tape that had, you know, the sheriff's office had impounded the things in the building. Different things like that that we really don't have control over. So control can in many ways become a crutch and an illusion that we chase after so hard rather than learning the power of what I'm going to call in this episode choice, because choice is so powerful. I want to go back to what I was talking about earlier. You can choose your response to situations. You may not, well, in fact, you do not have any control over the other people in that situation or the other things that happened. If somebody's driving recklessly, if an accident happens, a tire blows out, any of those things, nothing you do is going to be able to control that. But you can control your response. And I really encourage you to think for a minute about that. Are you going to respond or are you going to react? To respond is to take a minute and think and then decide what you want to do. Whereas react is to just simply go with whatever emotion comes to you first and act that way and just go for it. Because after all, that's how I feel. So I have the right to do it. And you absolutely do. But does that serve you? Does it serve your life? Does it serve your business path? You know? And I really encourage you to think of that. In our lives, there are situations. There are both the situations that we have no control over, things that happen to us, whether it be in childhood or adulthood, that other people do to us that are just wrong. There's never going to be any argument for them other than that they're wrong. But they happen nonetheless. And we don't have the control over that. But the person that we can control, if you want to say, is that choice that we have to choose. How do we want to respond in this situation? How do we want to take these things and go from here? I love how Lisa Nichols says it. She says, you can choose to live in your story, or you can choose to live on your story. And I think that's an encouragement for all of us, is can we find a way from the situations in our life to move on to something bigger, something better, something greater? It may be, well, it will be different from what would have been had that situation not happened, but it can be just as good. Now, there are other things in life that absolutely, we were the perpetrators of the situation that comes in our life. We know we made that decision, and we know often while we're doing it, let's be honest, but for sure afterwards, we know that it was the wrong decision, but that is made. That's the past. And if you think about driving a car, you know, if you were staring intently in the rearview mirror of your car and not watching forward where you're driving, you'd crash into things. You wouldn't get very far. And you'd constantly be crashing in life. And a lot of us find ourselves living our lives that way because we're so focused on what's behind us that we forget to focus on what's ahead. The past can be something that we can learn and grow and become thriving entrepreneurs from, but it cannot become that thing that we allow ourselves to focus on. Because remember, whatever you focus on is what's going to grow. Whatever you put your energy, your effort, your attention, your time into, that's the things that are going to increase in your life. So I encourage you today, as you're listening to these stories, these best-selling authors tell their stories, look for the ways that you can control what you can and begin to not worry about what you can't control. To make those choices, use that powerful power of choice to choose how you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our best-selling authors.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Today we're going to focus on learning to control what we can and not worry about what we can't control. We are going to learn the power of choice. And by doing that, we're going to talk with a couple of really amazing best-selling authors that have their books either coming out soon or just came out that are going to share with you this of how they took circumstances in their life, both ones that they can control and ones that were completely out of their control, and learned how to make choices to now allow themselves to live as thriving entrepreneurs. Listen intently, make some notes, and even hashtag and let us know your breakthroughs as we learn how to live as thriving entrepreneurs. Are you okay? How many times have you heard that question asked before? And what's your response? Your response is, oh yeah, I'm okay. But what if you could be better than okay? That's intriguing, isn't it? First time I heard that phrase, it jumped out at me, and I just can't wait to introduce this book to you. So let's get right to it. Join me in welcoming Zandra Grant. Hi, Zandra. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. I am wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm so excited to get to have you on the show now that, you know, we went through the book writing process and talk about your book. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. I'm super excited. I'm just so excited about the number of people that I know will be helped and will be encouraged as a result of the book that together we've pulled together to write.
So the book is called Better Than Okay. Explain to people in a little more detail than I did in the intro what better than okay really means.
You know, I truly believe that people ask us, how are you? And most of the time, they're really not even listening for your answer. And most of the time, we really don't answer them honestly. So we simply say, I'm okay. You know, I'm doing all right. You know, that kind of thing, especially when you're going through something, a situation as serious and as life-altering as divorce. And so the response of being okay is just, you know, it's two letters. It's quite simple. It's quite superficial. And that's pretty much the way you feel when you offer that response. And to actually be able to say I'm better than okay actually takes a bit more soul. It takes a bit more thought. It means actually owning where you are, who you are, and how you are. It means that you've actually given your situation some thought. And you realize, you know what? I'm actually better than okay. I'm not okay. I'm better than okay. Now, that's where I am right now. And I hope to be in that same place or even better than that tomorrow. So being better than okay is really about owning where you are, owning where you've been, and realizing that you're not there anymore. You're better than that. And so that's how I would explain what it means to be better than okay.
And you have some experience with this because you went through it personally in your own life. Tell everybody just, you know, like kind of the highlight of your story.
Sure. I was married for 11 years, got married before graduating college. Had already experienced some, what I would consider some real lows, you know, being a daddy's girl and losing my dad when I was 15 was a very significant loss to me. And then losing my little brother, several years after that, I felt like some pretty significant losses. And then, you know, being on the high of being the first one to go to college and graduate and get married and then have a baby, and you feel like you're living this life that is the life that you wanted to live. And then things start happening and your life becomes unrecognizable. And it's like, what just happened to me? You know, where, how did I get here? So, you know, things started to happen in our marriage, and it became fairly obvious and then increasingly obvious that I would be headed towards divorce. And I was never really one who believed in divorce. I was one of those that felt like, yeah, it happens, and it happens to those people, not me, you know. And then it was actually me, you know, and it was difficult to accept. Even more difficult to accept was the role that I played in it, a role that I did not want to own anytime soon, because that was even more painful. And so, I'm sorry, ask me your question again. I got out on tangent.
Oh, no, that was good. So you went through the divorce, and now yeah. You're on the other side of that. And tell us, I remember, because when we were doing the interview, one of the things I remember from the very first you said was, you're like, can I say I'm happily divorced? Is that okay to say in a book?
Right. Well, you know, it was when you realize that you're headed towards divorce, most of the time, you don't just wake up and think, oh, I'm getting divorced. It happens over a period of time, right? And you gradually get to that state and to that decision. And when it felt like I was suffocating. I've never suffocated, but I gotta think that that's what it would feel like. It feels like you just can barely breathe. You don't know. You're unsteady. You don't have a lot of certainty about many things in your life. Everything is in the air. Everything is questionable. I questioned, can I actually buy a home? Can I own a home? Can I maintain a home? Can I raise my son? You know, what am I going to do? I don't even understand. And then once the divorce was final, close on the house, you know, things started to feel a little bit more stable. I felt a little bit more secure in myself. I felt a lot more secure in my faith. And then I started to realize that, wow, this is the reinvention of me. And then it was like, oh, well, so I can't do this. My God and I, my creator and I, we can do this. So the decisions are mine. Whether they are the right decisions or not, they're still mine. And I own them. And it's like you don't have to walk on eggshells because you're trying to please people or somebody, and you're free to just be happy. And it felt like, well, that's wrong to say you're happy that that's over, because my sons were a product of that. And yet I'm standing here saying I'm happily divorced. And really what happily divorced means, that I went through divorce. I learned that process, that is just a process, and that it in no way defines me, my life, or my future life, and that it's quite natural for me to be happy. Why not be happy? And if anybody's going to make me happy, that's going to be me. And so that is how I would define happily divorced, simply happily me, living my life full out, being very deliberate and very intentional and unapologetic for who I am and the fact that I'm happy. That's how I would define it.
I love that. And now, of course, you work with people in your divorce care program and helping them get through to a place where they too can say they're happily divorced.
That's right. That's right. I went through a divorce care program that was 13 weeks, and it was a lot of work. And I would say towards the end, I heard an audible as clear as you and I are right now talking, as clear as I'm hearing you and you're hearing me. I heard it. This is what I have for you to do. And it was like, are you serious right now? Because I think I'd like something else to do. This is painful. This is people in pain. And I don't want to keep reliving my divorce every time I'm sitting in the midst of other people, you know, trying to bear their pain and figure out their life. And what I learned was, or what I was reminded of, is that we are comforted so that we may be a comfort to others. And there were those people that came alongside me, that encouraged me, that supported me. And once I remembered that, I quickly realized I want to do that for other people. People don't seem to know that they don't have to hurt alone through divorce. I'm not going to say they don't have to hurt. You don't just get there or arrive. You grow into it. I call it growing through your divorce. And so you just take a good look. It's like you're in a fishbowl and you're just looking around you. You're just going in a circle and you're looking around you and taking, you know, making notes and making decisions on, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. Since I don't like that, here's what I'd like to change about that. Here's why I'd like to change that. And here's how that's going to feel for me after I make that change. And then you go to the next thing. No, I don't like that. Okay, that's something I want to change. Here's why I want to change that. Here's what that change, this here's how that'll feel for me. Here's what that'll look like. And then you go to the next thing. Yep, I like that. I like that. I like that. Until you feel, I really don't think it ever ends. It just keeps going because our whole goal is to continue to become better people. We evolve every day. We are evolving. We are creating experiences for ourselves. And it's all up to us. It's all up to us.
I love that. And that's why the book is called Better Than Okay. I really do encourage you to pick it up on Amazon by Zandra Grant, Better Than Okay. Zandra, thanks so much for spending some time with us on the show here today.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all the work we've done. I look forward to our next one.
I want that for all of you. I want every single one of you that's listening to not just be okay, but to be better than okay. To be able to look around at your world, at your life, at your business and go, you know, things are great. I really like this. I really enjoy the opportunities and the things that I'm doing in life. I really want to see you live that way. I hope that you can look around at the things that are okay in your life and begin to identify. Let's go back to the phrase that I talked about at the beginning of the show. Control what you can and don't worry about what you can't control. Give up on that illusion of control and begin to learn to see, where do I have choice and where are there things that I need to stop worrying over and just, again, choose how I want to be in this world as I am faced with the circumstances of life. I encourage you to think about that. Listen to the commercials as they're coming up and go out to Facebook and Twitter. Make some tweets, some Facebook posts, hashtag us Thriving Entrepreneur, and let us know what kind of things that you've found that you can control. But also let us know what kind of things you've discovered. You know what? I can't control that. And we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Today we're talking about control, learning to control what you can and forget about what you can't control, understanding that control is really actually an illusion. What we do have in circumstances is choice. Can we learn how to respond instead of react, how to choose the life we want to live, how to, as I said before, I love Lisa's statement, how can we stand on our story instead of being stuck, mired in our story? Another good friend of mine, a minister, used to always say, do you want to allow this thing to be your tombstone or your stepping stone? Now, there are things in life that we don't have control over at all. We know it. The minute that it happens to us, we feel completely out of control. There are people, things, events that victimize us, that do things to us that are completely outside of anything that should be allowed. But I want you to not remain stuck any longer in that story. I want you to begin to see where you can choose right now, where you are, no matter what the circumstance might be, to begin to find and look for that choice so that you can empower yourself and begin to find a way to thrive. So pay close attention, and I really do hope that you find some nuggets of truth within this that'll help you begin to rise above what has been and really soar into a new, better, and greater life for yourself every day.
One of the nightmares that we have while we're sleeping are horrible and they stick with us. But what about those nightmares that we actually have to live through for real? Sometimes what we need is a workbook to help us learn how to overcome and survive in those kind of incidences. And so to help us with that, we have an amazing, one of our next new bestsellers called Nell's Nightmare, written by Hilda Nell Burns. And she's going to talk to us about her survival workbook for the abused. Hi, Hilda. How are you today?
I am great. How are you today, Steve?
I'm doing good, thanks. So tell us just, I mean, we want to make people read the book to hear all about what you went through, but tell us just a little touch of what you went through to make you know you needed this workbook as well as the rest of the people.
Well, see, I went through quite a bit of trauma in my life, and in the midst of that trauma, I lost myself. That the traumas were different at different times, and it was significant trauma, things such as rape, abuse, domestic violence, things of that nature. And in that, I lost the dream that in my purpose and just began to just survive. And in life, you know, we don't want to just survive. We want at some point to live and not just make it mundane, just day to day. You know what I mean?
I do, absolutely. So for people who, you know, are feeling sympathetic but maybe haven't been through it, can you give the listeners an example of what's the difference between just surviving and really truly living?
Surviving is mostly, a lot of people, we go through life just surviving by just living paycheck to paycheck. Or we're just doing those things that we know that we can keep the lights on or or just to see the family, versus living where, as when we get up and we go to a job that we love to go to, things like instead of just eating rice and beans to survive, maybe a change up, maybe from rice and beans to chicken fillets or filet mignon or just different things like that. It doesn't have to be expensive, but there is truly a difference in surviving and living, and we get caught up in that. When we're surviving, we just do what we have to do. But when we're living, and when we're living our purpose, and it doesn't mean money. A lot of people think that living your dream or just being successful means that you're having a whole lot of money. That's not realistic. Living is when you're living your purpose. We all have a purpose. And in our purpose, you find comfort, where you're happy to get up to go to work the next day. You can't wait to do this. I can't wait to get up and do the things that it is that I like to do and still get paid for it. Those things are, it's different than just getting up, going to work because I have to, versus getting up, going to work because I want to and I'm excited to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what is probably the number one thing that you really look forward to in life now that at some point you felt like was just lost to you forever?
Now that I've realized my purpose, I knew my purpose when I was a small kid, and this is what it's all about, Mel's nightmare. Throughout the nightmare, we all, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, knew a purpose. We all decided, you know, there was something that we liked to do. But in my life today, I've always knew that my purpose was to help people. I didn't know what it was called at an early age, but I got away from that. But now I truly, with writing the book and motivational speaking, I get an opportunity to truly help people through the traumas that I've experienced in life, through rape, through molestation, through domestic violence and child abuse. I get an opportunity to truly help them dream again. And that's what created Dream 360. And the book, based off of my life story, Dream 360 came alive. And with Dream 360, we truly help those people dream again, because somebody woke up and said, I want to be a drug addict when I grow up. Or I want to be a prostitute when I grow up. I want to be a drug dealer when I grow up. Something happened. We all knew at an early age that there was something that we really, truly liked to do. And when things happen, and a lot of times we say when life happens, but when trauma happens, we begin to lose that purpose, and we just begin to survive, and we forget to live. And a lot of times we forget how to live, or we've never lived. All we ever knew was survival. And my purpose now, to get back to your question, my purpose now is just to help people. I started a company, and that company, I've been doing it for 15 years, but then I knew that there was more. There was more, and I started getting back to my purpose. My purpose was to help people, and I really didn't know how to do that. But getting back and remembering what it was that I just loved doing, and in doing that, I began to be happy again. I began to live my purpose. And now I love to get up in the morning and do what it is that I do. I love getting up knowing that today I may get a chance to talk to somebody and help someone, or when someone asks me to come and speak to a group of ladies, or when I go to the jail or I go to the AA meetings to talk with those ladies, to remind them that they have a purpose. And that in itself gives me joy to know that I am helping them in some way to remember what it is, because a lot of, like I said before, a lot of times we forget. to remember their purpose and to begin to rush out for their purpose, to stop just surviving and actually start living, to put together a plan to start living again.
So I know a lot of times for people who are victims of abuse, you know, it's hard for them to really even acknowledge it. It's that secret that they kind of keep hidden from the world. In fact, I've heard all too often, you know, from even people here on the show, they were just positive that if anybody ever knew, they wouldn't like them anymore. Could you take a couple minutes and just speak specifically to those people who, you know, something that they didn't do, but they had to endure through, that they're hiding and they really need to begin to start acknowledging it and learning to heal. Could you talk to them for just a couple of minutes?
Yes. Those words you just said, I used to say those words all the time. If you got to know me, you really wouldn't like me. Those words sound so familiar. What I would say to them, first, is acknowledge. Once you begin to acknowledge what happened and begin to not only forgive them, because a lot of times we forgive because the Bible says forgive. And then sometimes we just don't want to forgive because it hurts so much. But if you want to start living again, if you want to stop hurting, the first thing you have to do is forgive. You have to forgive them for what they've done. Because we never know what was ever done to them. For example, in the book, I talk about my grandfather who molested me as a child, and I would hide from him. Well, I began to forgive him, remembering that he wasn't always that monster, that at sometimes he was my best friend who became a monster, but not knowing what he had gone through, and I began to be sympathetic towards him. Not saying that he had a right to do that, but I began to forgive him, not for him, but for me. And once I began to forgive him, then most importantly, I began to forgive me. I forgave me because I had to forgive me because I allowed the actions of someone else, because I used to say, why me? Why me? That person doesn't know why you. It was nothing that you did. It was nothing that I used to say, I hate being pretty. I hate being nice shaped because it draws too much attention and it's my fault. That's not your fault. And you can't control the actions of someone else. But when you begin to forgive them, you will begin to heal. And then begin to forgive yourself because it wasn't your fault. And it wasn't you that said, I want to hate this person. It was something in us. But if you choose, you can, and it is a choice, you can choose to forgive so that you can begin to heal. Well, for example, my mother was killed in front of me. But I didn't realize I had not forgiven my mother for leaving me. But I had to write a letter. If you begin to write, writing is healing. You can write your way to healing. I wrote her a letter and I said, Mom, dear Mom, I love you. But I have to say, I forgive you for the Christmases that I missed to spending with you. I forgive you for the dinners that we missed. I forgive you for the holidays that you missed. I forgive you for the birthdays that you missed. I forgive you for your grandchildren, not getting a chance to have a grandmother that loved them so sincerely. I forgive you for leaving me, which is number one. I forgive you for leaving me. It wasn't her fault that she was killed, but I had to learn, I had to forgive her in order to forgive me so that I could heal. And it wasn't about her, it was all about me. So if you start writing, you start forgiving, and you start writing, the tears are going to come and they're going to flow. The tears, sometimes it may feel like those tears are not going to stop, but I promise you, the more you write and those tears begin, each time you write, you will find that you'll get less and less tears, less and less tears. And you may have to go through this process for every single person. But if it is something that you're longing, go through those steps. Go through that workbook. Read that book. Go through those steps. If you have to do it 7 times, do it as many times as you need to for your healing.
You know, the third-generation minister, Steve, popping out just a little bit, the Bible talks about forgiven 70 times 7. And it really is intended to be an example for helping us understand once we've gotten to the place where we are perfectly able to forgive that person, then we've reached a place where we've really forgiven them. And until then, it's a process. You may have to forgive that person for the same thing today that you had to forgive them for yesterday until you heal, and that's okay.
Exactly, exactly. It doesn't matter how many times it takes, because sometimes I've said I forgive, and then the next day I find that same thing haunting me again. But then I started writing again, and it doesn't matter. Just like you said, it doesn't matter how many times. And don't beat up on yourself because you haven't forgiven, but know that you're human. And that God did allow it to put that in the scriptures because he knows how we are and that we do need to forgive. And sometimes, just like you said, have to do it over and over again until it becomes just a part of our nature, a part of our individual nature able to forgive, especially in trauma situations.
And forgiveness doesn't mean that what the person did was right. Don't ever let anybody ever convince you of that. You know, it's just time for you to get to be able to move on. I promise you that as you begin to share, you'll actually find connections with people who have been through the same thing and all they really want to do is love you.
That's true. That's very, very true.
So, Hilda, I really, really appreciate how much courage it took to be able to write this book and be not only this open about what you've been through, but also provide practical tips for people to do. Thank you so much for your willingness to share the nightmare you went through.
Thank you, Steve. And you're very, very welcome. I know that others have gone through some of the same things, and I encourage them to do the same things I've done. It did take a lot. Because it brought back a lot of memories, but it was also healing. And let me encourage those that have gone through some things, please, please, please don't allow those things to take life away from you. And don't allow those things to allow you to make you stop living. Living and dreaming again is possible. I promise you it's possible, but you have to do the work and you have to be persistent with it so that you can live again. It's not only for yourself, but for those around you.
The book is called Nell's Nightmare, a survival workbook for the abused, written by Hilda Nell Burns. Hilda, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
Hilda, I really appreciate your courage and the ability that you've taken to take the nightmare that was your life and create a way not only for you to stand on your story, for you to control the things that you can control, but also for you to let go of those things that you have no control over and begin to teach and empower others how they too can stand above, rise above the nightmare that is their past, and begin to look at a newer, greater, brighter future. Thank you so much for your story and for giving that all to all of us. We really appreciate it, and I really know that a lot of people that were listening got some secrets and some clues for themselves how they can begin to stand on their story as well. I really do hope that during this commercial break, some of you will tweet out hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur and let Hilda know the things that you heard from what she talked about and how much they've helped you and impacted your life. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I appreciate so much the time that you've taken today to listen as we've talked about learning how to control what you can and forget about the things that you can't control. It's not that you're going to actually just, you know, blank them from your memory. I'm not talking about having an upper lobotomy or anything like that, but simply how can we integrate those things that are in our life, both the decisions that we've made, good and bad, and the circumstances that others in our lives have brought into our lives, both good and bad, and learn how to make incredible power out of that powerful power of choice. You really do have that inherently within you to be able to choose. And I encourage you to really think throughout the course of this week, what are the things that I've been holding on to, that I've been struggling, scraping, scratching, fighting to control, that I could just let go of? I could open my hands and let them go. And what are the things that I can begin to start using the power of choice to really impact myself, make my life and my world a better place? As each of us lives as a thriving entrepreneur, as we become the best version of ourselves, we also then have the capability to be able to really, truly make the world a better place just by simply being the best version of us that we can be. I really encourage all of you. You heard two amazing stories, people that have taken situations that were not pleasant in their life, difficult transitions, and they now are thriving in their life, and they're living as thriving entrepreneurs because they made that powerful choice to begin to take that ick, that stuff that we want to hide. Everybody does it. If you've listened to the show enough, you've heard amazing world-changing leaders admit that they knew that if they shared that one thing with people, that nobody else would like them, that they'd lose all of their people, and that they'd be destitute and not have a business anymore. And yet it's the sharing of that one thing that has catapulted them to success like they never knew was possible. It's taken their business to new heights that they only dreamt, they only wished that they had the capability to have. All from sharing their truth, from being open and honest enough to be able to just say, this is what is. This is what's happened. And I'm okay with that. Because now here's the choice that I'm going to make powerfully in that situation to rise above and to thrive. And I want that for each of you. And I would love to see you share your message, your story with the world. It's such a blessing for Kathy and I to be able to share your stories out in the world. We love our bestsellers. That's why we created bestsellersguild.com. It's a free Facebook group. You just go to bestsellersguild.com, ask to join, and You know, you're part of the community. You're part of a family of people who, just like you, are somewhere on their journey to becoming a bestseller. Maybe they have a book that they wanted to write. Maybe they have written a book, but it's not a bestseller. Maybe they're already a bestseller. We have people at all levels of their journey in there, and they share together one to another how they got there, what they did, and how they can love on you and help you really be a thriving entrepreneur and become a best-selling author yourself. I love it because one of our mottos for the group is, when one wins, we all win. And so when it comes a launch day for a particular person, we love to support each other, to help one another, to lift each other up, and see just how powerfully, amazingly we can help each other soar when we work together. So come join us at bestsellersguild.com. We'd be glad to have you there with us, and we'd be excited to see you become one of our next best-selling authors. And then I can have you as a guest on our radio show, and we can talk about you and your book and what things you've learned to control in life and what things you've learned to not worry about because you can't control. I think that's awesome, and I'm looking forward to really talking with you and getting to know you and hearing your story and watching it change the world. Because as we are the best version of ourselves, that's when real world change happens. So we'll look for you at bestsellersguild.com. I need you to understand something. I know you've been through stuff. None of us makes it through life unscathed. Nobody, no matter how good, no matter how bad they are, have a perfect life. It seems like it sometimes when we judge other people's lives from outside, living in our own life, looking at theirs and wishing that ours were like theirs. But if we get to know them, what we find is that all of us have our things that we deal with as human beings. And I understand that. I know you've been through some stuff. But now I encourage you, now is the time to rise. Now is the time to soar. You see, here's what I know more than anything else, and that's that you are uniquely brilliant. Truly, there is nobody else on this planet that is like you, that has your message, that can share your gifts with the world. Pick anybody you want to pick. Oprah, Lisa Nichols, Tony Robbins, T.D. Jakes, Martin Luther King, Sister Teresa. Nobody can be you. You are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. There's nobody out there that's just, the person who was created to make sure that the carbon dioxide and oxygen levels in the atmosphere stay the same. No. You were created for a very specific purpose, to fulfill a place in the world, and there is nothing that can keep you from that. As T.D. Jakes says, God was so interested in having you come into existence that he did whatever it took. He did what was necessary for you to come into existence, to have two people come together and make sure that you were. Like I said, you're uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. And here's why. Because the world needs you. Nobody else can fill your place, and we don't want anybody else to. Because Kathy and I are here to help you learn how to thrive in life and business, to live as a thriving entrepreneur, so that you can live every day of your life in that place where things aren't perfect, but you're thriving as an entrepreneur. I hope you have a great week. We look forward to talking to you again next time here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.